Welcome. This podcast is brought to you by recruitmentcoach.com.
The reason I wanted to catch up with you and do a quick interview with you, Rupert, is that you and I have been working together for just over 6 months now, and you've been kind of one of my star clients, and you've achieved an awful lot in that short space of time. So I think it would be great just to get a good understanding of how you've kind of gone about achieving those things. Would you mind just to start out sharing, like, what do you regard as maybe two or three of the key highlights or things that you feel you've made progress on recently?
Yeah, for sure. I think since starting to work with you, there's a number of things that I've achieved, both on the kind of sales front, but also on the kind of promotional of the company side of things. For example, I've got a new website. I've written over 40 blogs and sent out more than three a week to seven different lists. You introduced me to the team in India that's been promoting me to clients. My list has grown from just under 1,000 to over 2,000. I've been getting up to the top of the pages for Google rankings, grown my interim desk from 0 to 2,500 per week. I've got a kind of very robust template now to win retained assignments. I've won one, and I've got two more in the pipeline.
Wow, okay. Gosh, there's so much there, I almost don't know where to start. But let's pick up on the last point then, because I believe you've been successful at doing interim before we ever met, so I can't really take any credit for that. The growing interim business, you've done it before, and it's just a case of building that back up. And you've done it remarkably well, 2,500 weekly GP from scratch in a short time. So
I've got my biggest one was I've got my biggest march as well, starting last week, which is 1,375 a week, which is quite
how much
quite good for one 1,375.
Wow, for one interim.
Yeah.
And that's your profit?
Yeah, so that's pay $1,100, charge $1,375 and 20% margin. I think I'm going to push my margins up now as well to 22%, but I've started out on 20.
Yeah, great. That's fantastic. Yeah. I love it. So just touching on the retained piece, because I believe previously, although you're extremely experienced in your space and you already had a good reputation, you had some excellent client relationships, it had all been pure contingency, is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, great. So you said you've already got one retainer that you've won, you've got two more in the pipeline. Can you just, that first retainer, what were the key shifts or changes that you had to make in order to transition from contingent to starting to get retainers?
Well, it was with a main contractor, and it was in the infrastructure space. It was a new business meeting. I was meeting up with the group commercial director of this company, and I think I just went along, had the usual kind of chat. What's your greatest challenges and roadblocks and all that good stuff. And as I've learned, 8 out of 10 times, usually resourcing comes up as one of the kind of headaches that they're having. And on this particular occasion, it was one of the headaches, and it was number two for him to be commercial director for UK and Ireland. And yeah, I managed to talk about what he'd been doing before, and the fact that by retaining me, we could work through a time frame, and that he would have my full attention and everything. And I put together a proposal after the meeting, and then got invited in to meet up with him and the head of HR.
Brilliant. So let me just break that down a little bit, if I may. So this was actually a new client or just a new contact with an existing client?
New client.
Brand new client. All right. So that in itself is an achievement, and we can come on to that. But so it was with a new client. Now, traditionally, it's harder to win retainers with new clients because you don't have a track record. You don't have any profile or credibility with them, so you're starting from scratch. I think of key importance was that you were meeting with a senior decision maker rather than, the HR department or what have you. And then you had them as an internal ambassador, and they introduced you to HR, which is a whole different thing. So that was one of the keys to your success. If we can come back to how you actually arrange that meeting with the senior decision maker within a brand new company. That would be interesting because you're very, very good at that. But what did you do differently? Because, you know, you've been doing client meetings with senior decision makers for years, but how did you do differently this time that in the past you mightn't have done? Go ahead.
Yeah, as soon as I got the lead that there was a requirement there, I really built up his problems and, you know, all the issues he was having, why it was failing, the effects it's having on the business, and just making it a much more of a headache than probably, I mean, it was a headache for him, but just really making him realize what a headache it was. The idea that hopefully, you know, my solution could be the pill to give him some, you know, good night's sleep.
Okay, great. Well put. So that's something that we had worked quite a lot on is the solution selling and the you know, asking the problem and implication questions and so on.
Yeah.
So that was important. What else was different? Did you do differently to get that result?
I think it was confidence as well. Mm. Just knowing that at the beginning of the meeting I was gunning in the meeting to get a retainer, and I think that was one of my objectives. And obviously, if it wasn't appropriate, I wouldn't try and sell a retainer if they weren't even looking to recruit. But, you know, as soon as I got a sniff that there was a problem there and that there was a recruitment need, you know, again, there's a fairly high chance that, you know, going the retained route is going to be the best solution if they want to do it within the time frame and get the, you know, every stone unturned and get the best talent rather than the most available talent.
Right, absolutely. So it was the confidence, it was the questioning, and then you actually have put together a really good proposal, and it's not fancy, but the content is excellent. So well done on that as well. How much was that one worth, Rupert?
That would be worth about just under 35,000.
Okay, fantastic. That's great.
Yeah.
Very, very impressive. There's so many achievements here. We don't have time to talk about them all. But one thing that you do really well that I'd like to pick up on is getting meetings with really impressive clients. Would you mind sharing, without giving away all your secrets, would you mind sharing a few tips on how you achieve that?
Well, I have an email which I've kind of developed over a number of years and kind of fine-tuned. It's really an email which doesn't really give it away whether I'm looking for the person as a client or a candidate. But in essence, it starts off with a little bit of, you know, a flattery about them being, you know, keen to the, you know, a key player in the industry, and then really just asking, you know, just saying it'd be nice to be on each other's radar. And would it be possible to share some notes and meet up for a coffee? And the response is, you know, probably tends to be a lot higher than if you're just going in and saying, I'd like to meet you.
Great. I like it. It's very subtle. But it produces, you know, much better results. I think the way you're doing it in respect to it being a little bit enigmatic. So there's a bit of curiosity about, I wonder what, you know, Rupert wants to talk to me about. They don't know if, you know, if you're maybe approaching them as a candidate or as a client.
Yep.
There's a logical reason why, like, hey, you know, you're a key player. I'm very well, you know, connected in this space. It would make sense to get on each other's radar. And then I like the fact, and it's just, you know, meeting for a coffee makes it sound quite informal, like an exploratory, you know, and given your posture in your market, then, and you're someone that's useful for them to know, and you're flattering them that they're, and it's true, because obviously you're not going to waste your time with people who aren't key players in their industry, but.
No.
So it's.
But also people need, in the same way as people have a lawyer and an accountant, they need to have a recruitment consultant to tell them what's going on in the marketplace. And I think a number of senior people, it's quite lonely for them sitting up there. They don't really necessarily know what, you know, what people are being paid or what the rumors are in the marketplace. You can go along and have a chat and, you know, they enjoy it, really.
Yeah, great.
You've got something interesting to add.
When you're sending, so is this via LinkedIn or is this an email? How do you actually transmit this message?
I've been doing it, to be honest, by both, actually. It's set up on my LinkedIn. because I've got the recruiter account.
Yep.
Recruitment account, so it's really easy for me just to file it off to a number of people. But then I also use it on the email as well, so I use it on both.
And would it be to people you're already connected with, or would it be this would be the way you would introduce yourself to someone who you weren't connected with?
Probably both, actually. Usually it's someone I'm not connected with. I'd probably write a slightly different one if I was connected. So these are probably actually more cold calls almost.
Yes. Okay, great. And then typically, what sort of response do you get? What do people say when they write back to you?
I probably get probably between 20% and 30% response.
That is exceptionally high. I don't know if people realize.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I mean, it is pretty high. Yeah.
And what do people say? Do they say, yep, call me, here's my mobile, or what's the next step to
very often I get given their mobile number and give me a call.
Okay.
And I then usually go from there to actually hopefully that on the call sending out an Outlook invite. Sometimes I put my time trader on as well, but that hasn't necessarily been as successful actually, as people actually like to have a call back.
Yes.
I've just been doing that.
So really, it's a way of setting up warm calls with, instead of making, hundreds of cold calls to find those people, you're sending highly targeted messages that are setting up a warmer call for you to book the appointment and then take it from there.
An email doesn't look as if it's a spam email. I mean, it looks quite personalized as well.
Yeah.
Although it's not. But I think it's more effective than calling. I mean, that's probably one thing I have learned in the last 6 months is actually that, cold calling probably isn't necessarily, I'm not dissing it, but it's necessarily the best way forward with senior people.
Interesting. Now, I have to take my hat off to you, Rupert, because I've taught kind of marketing automation and email marketing and content marketing to a number of clients, and you are the one who has embraced it the most fully and who's taken the most massive action on it. So you're kind of the pace setter in that regards. 40 blogs in, whatever it is, four months or something is phenomenal. Well, I guess the first question is, what do you feel that's done for you as far as your, what's been the benefit of that?
Well, I mean, the benefit of it is that I'm being in people's mind at least three times a week. I mean, people are getting an email from me. Everyone that I know, or that's on my list, are getting an email about three times a week. So, and I've had some people come back and say it's really, when I've had meetings, people say, yeah, that's really interesting stuff you're sending out. So, I mean, it's very, very unsalesy. I mean, it is high value pieces of information. That's what it's meant to be. And hopefully it's meant to be interesting as well and relevant to people. So, a lot of people say they read it on the train on their way to work and every so often you get someone that comes back and says, please can you unsubscribe me? Well, so what? If your list is growing by, 25 a week or something, if you lose a couple, you don't really mind. It's, it's quite nice to have a cull occasionally anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I think this will pay dividends in months and years to come, Rupert, but you've built a system for once someone is in your network of keeping in constant communication with them and adding value and positioning yourself as an expert, and just giving to them without, it's kind of the law of reciprocity, isn't it? You're giving good information.
I mean, I don't mind sharing how I do it, what I do. I mean, I do, when I get a reply for the guys in India who send out my marketing stuff, I get invite, they send out invites on my behalf. So people come back, they want to connect, so I write a thank you note to them. And then once I've written my thank you note, I then put them onto my MailChimp. And I've got an automation that 3 days later, a message goes out saying, I guess the title is You're Not Alone, and it says, if you're looking to recruit in the next 6 months, blah, 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 please give me a call. And it says, if you're looking at recruiting more in a shorter period than that, then if you're thinking about the interim route, and then I've got a link to my ebook for interim ebook.
Great.
And then after 5 days, I then get another email, then another email, another email. So
that,
then on the gravy train.
Yeah, that's the other thing you've done is you've written two or three different ebooks, haven't you?
Yeah.
which hopefully will start generating some more warm leads, you know, inbound leads as well.
Yeah.
People join your list and so on. So you've been very, very active in that respect. So, Rupert, is there anything else that you wanted to share in terms of let me ask you this question. You're a very successful guy already. So why hire a coach? What's the value to you in working with me or another coach?
Well, I think when you I think if you're a business owner and you're working on your own, you get very set in your ways, and you believe that, you know, you've got loads of experience and you know you'll always do okay. But in reality, I think to increase sales, you've got to be innovative, and you've got to learn new ways of working. I think like anything, things move on, the methodologies move on, and you know, the way of working now is different to perhaps it was, you know, 5, 10, 15 years ago. And I mean, particularly, you know, the whole kind of marketing side of things and attraction marketing. I mean, I think that's a huge thing as well. And for me personally, the retained market was something which I was not really thinking was for me, or I didn't think it was appropriate for what I was doing, when in fact it was. I don't doubt I ever would have come across that either. So, you know, those are just a few examples.
That's brilliant. Rupert, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate you taking the time to do this with me today. And I look forward to working with you in the future.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
If you enjoyed this podcast and would like to hear more, please visit recruitmentcoach.com.